The Sea of Monsters, Chapter 19. The chariot race ends with a bang. We arrived in Long Island just after Clarice, thanks to the Centaur's travel powers.
I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood.
Join us as we journey back through a childhood favorite series.
And see what lessons we can learn as adults from these books that meant so much to us as kids.
All right, the final chapters of The Sea of Monsters. Chapters 19 and 20, the chariot race ends with a bang. And the fleece works its magic too well.
That's correct.
Through the theme of consequence.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Facts. You're right. Before we get into the episode, as always, follow us on social media, Return to Camp, everywhere, our Patreon, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Ava, take it away with our 30-second recap, our last 30-second recap of The Sea of Monsters.
Okay, who has a time? Oh my god, before we do this, can I say, the day that we're recording right now is Halloween, so happy Halloween.
It is Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Very late for all of you, and I'm having a great time.
It's like, yeah, like when this episode comes out, it'll be closer to Thanksgiving than Halloween for you guys, but today is Halloween for us.
Happy Halloween.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so there are more chariot races, and basically Charles Beckendorf tries to like sabotage Percy and Annabeth a bunch of times, and the gag is I don't remember who wins. I know it's one of them, and I promise I read. And then Tyson is like, I'm gonna go work in the forges, and he also helps them. And so everyone is like, you're a hero. And Annabeth says that too, which is really cool and important. So he goes to work in Poseidon's forges, and then Annabeth is keeping night watch, and then the fleece is like, ah, and then Talia comes out of the tree.
You like just barely got Talia in there.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to finish too early, you know?
Also, I like how you made it seem like Beckendorf like had like a bone to pick against them. Like, he was like the main antagonist of these chapters in that summary, and I really like that point of view of it. And they do win.
Yeah, I just didn't remember if it was like a collaboration or one of them won individually. I was listening to it at like 1.5 speed, so.
And like Percy and Annabeth win together, and the Annabeth is like, but let's not forget about Tyson.
Yeah.
Finally, she's what not mean.
A good moment. What a good arc.
My jaw dropped. Wow, that was not words, but
yeah. No, that made me very happy. It was something I forgot about. What else did we forget about?
I forgot that Tali came out of the tree during this one. I thought it was at the beginning of his curse.
Oh no. It is the biggest in all of these books, this is the biggest cliffhanger.
Yes.
Like, hands down.
Actually, I do remember that, because I remember the beginning of Titan's Curse being like, ooh, like, really, really exciting.
And also, like, this is just, like, a publishing thing. The Lightning Thief has the first chapter of Sea of Monsters at the end of it, but Sea of Monsters has the first chapter of Kane Chronicles at the end of it. So, Talia comes, and you can't even be like, what happens next? You, like, really have to get the new book.
That's really smart.
It is.
Wow.
I forgot Tyson's ending. I forgot that he gets that little, like, internship or whatever.
It's so cute.
I know.
She's like, I got internship with Daddy. And I'm like, ugh, that's so cute. Percy's why like, can't he care about Percy?
Yeah. Oh my god, and then I totally, forgot Hermes had his little moment where he came in and Percy was like, well, don't be mad or like turn me into a rodent or anything, but Luke is kind of mad at you and he's not coming back.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, we get more George and Martha content too.
I freaking love them.
We don't have enough George and Martha content overall. I would like more.
Please. That's my only complaint about the series.
My only complaint, Rick Riordan, I'm talking to you specifically. I need a George and Martha standalone book. People are like, we need a Nico D'Angelo standalone book. No, I need a George and Martha book.
Or like I agree.
No Hermes. Just George and Martha. Their origin story.
Oh, how interesting.
Oh, and the envelope, the letter. I don't know why the envelope part stuck to me. But
I remember the envelope but not the letter?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it just didn't remember this whatsoever. Just a letter that says brace yourself.
Me neither.
It's like, and like, we know what happens next. That's not helpful.
Yeah. Also, like, to what extent can you brace yourself for a war? That's it. Just a war. Like,
war. I think like, it serves as a plot device, I feel like, more when I look at it, because I'm like, he could have gotten that letter of brace yourself at literally any time, you know, like it's very cryptic in general, but he got it right then, and then Talia comes back, so it was like something that convinced him even more that he was going to be the person in this prophecy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Talia's like, hey. So it really, like, makes the switch up of Talia coming back even more intense, because, like, he really thought everything was pointing towards the fact that he was the person in this prophecy, and now there's another child of the big three back, you know?
That's true. I never thought of it in, like, comparison to Talia coming back. I didn't even, like, think about it that way. That makes a lot more sense to me.
I'm a genius, but...
But we been new. She's a Leo, guys.
Yes.
Oh my god, the watch. I forgot Percy had a shield at all.
Right.
But guys, well, when I tell you I cried.
That's fair.
That's what you cried at, the watch?
The scene between Tyson and Percy.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them. Like, the scene where he gives them the watch, and then later on, the scene where he leaves.
Yeah.
But it's so cute.
It is.
When he's like, Tyson's telling his backstory, and he's like, Poseidon sent me a brother when I needed one. And it was... made me very emotional.
It was so fucking cute.
I love Tyce.
This is completely not what this section is about, but something I remember greatly is Greek fire.
Yes.
The concept sticks out in my mind so hard.
I feel that. I feel like for some reason, there's no logical explanation to this. It's just the vibes. I feel like Greek fire is equivalent to, in Harry Potter, like a howler, like receiving a howler.
I would say no.
I'm just the vibes.
I respect your vibes.
Both only on vibes is she determining this.
But one is like fire with like nuclear melting power, and the other is a letter that yells at you.
Yeah, they're both aggressive magical devices.
Okay. I was going to say it's the exact same thing as Dragonfire from Game of Thrones. Like, to the T. Like, it is the same amount of violent fire, and they're both green. And I just want to know who stole from who. Because these are the exact same thing. I know neither of you watch Game of Thrones. But I had to make that point. And Annabeth's growth. So good.
The character is very good.
I forgot that it's like the reason like Grover gets to keep searching is because they're like, you did so well this time, like, good job on you getting rid of Polythemus. Like, but let's be real, I love Grover. Yeah. What did he do? He got kidnapped. That's what he did.
That's true.
And then other people came and saved him, and they're like, good on you, you didn't get eaten.
No, Grover, remember, Grover was actually a lot more active and helpful in this mission than he has been in the past.
You're right, he did carry Annabeth.
And, like, didn't freeze up and, like, actually mobilized in a panic situation.
Yeah. That's true.
We give Grover points for this one. He did better than he normally does.
And then when he's like, I could dissolve the empathy link, and Percy's like, nah.
That scene was cute as fuck. That was such a sweet scene.
It was.
There was, like, when I told you guys, like, I was, like, tearing up through this whole thing. It's just so sweet. All of it.
Yeah, it really
is. It's so sweet.
It is.
And Chiron, like, makes sure that Percy doesn't get arrested.
Yes. This one, the end of this book is for some reason just so much more like, oh, than the end of The Lightning Thief.
Yeah. The Lightning Thief was just kind of like, well, happy school year. Like,
yeah, see you next summer. But, like, this is so sweet.
I know. You really feel the, like, each, like, thread wrap itself up very neatly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still on the wristwatch. Like, when he opens, like, just the shield, and it has the story of, like, the whole book, and it's, and Tyson holding, battling the Hydra, holding a box of monster donuts.
Yeah.
I also love it.
Like, the fact that it's a shield, and, like, that symbolizes how they protect each other as brothers.
Look at you finding the symbolism.
It makes me very soft. I love it.
And I did not forget Talia comes back.
I mean,
I've been waiting for this.
I've been waiting for this one. Turn it up.
I'm so, oh, wow. What a fun group.
I'm also very excited for Titan's Curse. Honestly, the most exciting thing about reading these two chapters was, as like, we get to start Titan's Curse.
Yeah. Oh, what a good time. And then it's just a great time from there on out. Like, I love Battle of the Labyrinth. I love The Last Olympian. Like, very good.
Guys. Off topic, but when we get to The Last Olympian, that would be the best day. I love The Last Olympian.
We're closer than further. Are we? I mean, every day.
Okay.
I mean, like, every day we're closer than further away to the future, right?
Let's move on to theme.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, consequence. I mean, I chose a theme that was, like, pretty on the nose, right?
Yes.
So, let's talk about Cronus. Because this is a man who knows the consequences of every single action that he takes. He, like, no matter how we feel about Cronus, we must say that that man is always, like, five steps ahead of everyone else.
Accurate.
Oh, and definitely.
I have to respect that.
Yeah.
Like, consequences can be seen or unseen, and that, like, really shapes a decision. Like, a lot of the time, a decision you make is, like, based on what the consequences are going to be. But, like, Talia coming back was not a consequence that anyone but Chrono saw.
True. True.
And it's weird because is it good or is it bad? It's both, right?
I mean, I like when people are fully conscious and alive. But I know what it means for everyone else.
Like, Ava, you know what I meant. No, yeah, it's such an interesting plot device here where we're like, ugh. Like Neve was saying earlier, like, these chapters right up until this really hammer in, they're like, oh, Percy's the one in the prophecy, Percy has to save us all, and then bam, Talia. And then we're like, ooh, fuck.
Yeah.
I really like the line that's, I was holding someone who is destined to be my best friend or possibly my worst enemy.
I love that. Oh.
Oh. Great writing.
Yeah.
Where else did we see consequence?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like in general, this is kind of weak, but I feel like when the gods are leaving their kids with abandonment issues, like, I don't know, there are going to be consequences. And I feel like we see a vivid example of that with Luke. Like, there's that whole conversation between Percy and Hermes where he's like, well, you're just going to have to face the fact that he's not coming back to you and he hates you forever. So, kind of your fault. Hermes is a god and like gods have stuff to do, but like he did kind of set himself up for it by abandoning Luke. And even though that's like part of the job description, it still sucks. So like I feel like just he had to be prepared for the fact that like a consequence of his actions happened to be one of his children revolting against him.
Yeah. I think this is like perfectly encapsulated in Hermes, because Hermes talks about like how things would be worse if the gods intervened too much. And I think that makes a good point. Like, I think we sit here and are like, why don't the gods help their kids as much? And like, they should. They're bad parents. But like, they're doing all right as gods, you know, because if all the gods get too involved, they just like have too much personal stake, and then like the gods start to turn themselves against each other. And like, yeah, we see it happen when the gods do get involved and they do start to have conflict with each other, and then it becomes a mess. But the problem here is like Cronus is coming back. Like, this is their problem.
Yeah.
Like, your problem, you fix it.
Yeah.
If there are rats in your home, call an exterminator. I don't really know how that made sense.
It's okay.
But I think the essence was there.
It was. Interesting.
Learned something today.
This kind of relates. This is like consequence in the book overall. Chiron is punished for being a child of Cronos.
Yeah.
And yet, everyone in this book is related to Cronos.
I know.
Literally everyone. He is the dad of the big gods and the grandpa of the rest of them, and grandpa or great-grandpa of all of the demigods. So, like, why are we singling out Chiron?
Yeah, also Chiron can't choose who he's related to.
Yeah. I find it funny too that they, you know, they don't explicitly say this, but they would think Chiron would be the one to turn back to Cronos because he's like lower and easier to like rattle, like to change in that way. And where they're like not looking in the right place, because Ares is actually on Cronus' side, and he's like one of the main gods that they were like, oh well, he's too big and powerful, he'd never change over. But this, like, Chiron's too
like small and is too weak or something and wouldn't have the power to resist going over to Kronos' side, when like actually they need to be looking in their own, because Ares is actually the one who's working with him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it shows like a systemic issue within the godly structure, where like it's that thing, it's like if you see a problem there, it's because there is a problem, but like you have to ask yourself why. Like if you're like, oh, it's definitely Chiron, you have to ask why you think it's Chiron. It's like, you think it's Chiron because you know that you've treated Chiron badly.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Chiron would definitely revolt against us. Like, we've treated him like shit.
Yeah. I mean, I also think there's a lot of just, like, judgment based off appearances. Like, I think Ares is, like, God and also biker dude. And I feel like they just wouldn't think, you know.
Biker but, like, dude privilege.
Small, almost human-sized centaur who is gentle and more reserved than all of his brothers. Like, of course they would think that, but I feel like they ignore the fact that he's been training heroes to fight evil for 4,000 years. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, completely. Intimore consequence.
Intimore.
Oh, ye.
I'm good. No thoughts.
No thoughts. Head empty. All right. Sass moment?
Yes.
Gasp.
Got it open to the right page and everything so I can start.
Okay, hell yeah.
It's not really sass. It just, like, made me chuckle. It's when Talia is, like, passed out and everyone's just, like, just, like, staring around her. She needs nectar and ambrosia, I said. She was clearly a half-blood, whether she was a camper or not. I could sense that from just one touch. I didn't understand why everyone was acting so scared. Like, just Percy being, like, the one. Because Percy saw her in his dream, I think it was. So it's funny that he doesn't immediately recognize, like, oh my god. But it's just funny that he's like, hey guys, what's wrong? Like, this girl obviously needs help. And it's, like, it's just too stunned to, like, actually help her.
Yeah, it is wild that it's not brought up whatsoever, that, like, he doesn't even make that connection at any point in this chapter. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen her before. I mean, what do we expect out of Percy? Yeah. I don't expect him to make those connections.
No.
All right. Mine is at the beginning of chapter 20. It's when we're talking about Grover. In the end, he agreed not to break the link. He went back to playing YMCA for the strawberry plants. I didn't need an empathy link with the plants to know how they felt about it.
That's funny.
I love the recurring joke of Grover not being able to play panpipes well. And him only trying to play pop music.
Yes, king.
Not as good, YMCA not as good as So Yesterday by Hilary Duff.
Oh.
Which was an iconic moment of the first book.
Mm-hmm.
But very funny nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Ava?
Mine's at the beginning of 20. Chiron raises eyebrows. Oh no, they've still expelled you. Master Mr. Bonza, I said you had, how did he put it? Ungroovy karma that disrupted the school's educational aura. Like, wow.
Wow.
What a sentence.
All right.
Just wow.
Yeah, that's it.
Just wow. Offering time. I'm going to go first.
Please.
I'm going to give my offering for Sally, because aww. I haven't been able to give an offering for Sally all book, and she was in these chapters. So that's my reasoning.
That's fair.
But also, she's just a supportive mom, and she's like, how dare you? But, like, you good? Yeah. And that's it. Just good momming.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Please. Who else?
I can go. Okay.
Oh, you didn't hear what I said.
Talia, she's back. That's it.
She's back and better than ever.
She's my favorite character, and she is back, everyone. Like, that's all.
That's fair. Tyson, finally getting something that is good for him.
Oh, I know.
So, so happy about it. I love him.
All right. Vote off the island. I need a second for this one. So if anyone knows them, like, off the top of their head.
I'm trying to think.
I know, it's like, I feel like everyone, most people in these chapters was doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Bergendorf, sorry. I just don't want you to win. I think you're a very nice boy. I really do like him a lot. I just didn't want him to win the chariot races.
What a petty vote.
There's no one else. I couldn't be like, well, Luke was talked about, you know?
You could.
Okay, then Luke, because he was talked about, and I...
Oh, okay. I like, even wrote in a whole new line for Bergendorf. Okay.
I mean...
Guys. Tantalus was quite literally voted off the island.
That's so funny.
Because Chiron came back and they were like, goodbye. He was quite literally voted out of the island.
Like, so quick.
Yeah.
So quick. Like, boom.
I loved that. That's what he boom.
I'm gonna give my vote this week to Rick Riordan. Because I'm... Give Percy, like, 5 minutes.
Please. Oh my god.
Like, please. This boy has been through so much. Just give him a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
Put him on the bench for a second.
For real.
Like, he couldn't even, like, enjoy his time with Tyson that much.
True.
That's it.
That's fair.
Neve.
I said Tantalus was voted quite literally off the island.
I thought you were just making an observation.
No, that's mine. Because okay. He deserves it.
Oh, he does. All right, folks. That's all for this week. We finished reading Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters. Woo! But we're not quite done yet. Join us next week when we will...
watch the movie! I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
ugh, fun times.
If you want to watch the movie with us, like, prepare yourself for the episode. The movie's on Disney Plus. That's where I know I will be watching it.
Yeah, fun times. Make sure you follow us on social media. We're at Return to Camp. And make sure you check out our Patreon and Redbubble store.
Goodbye. I love you.
See you next week. Wait.
Obligatory wave.